Hey everyone, we're Journey to the West. I'm V, and I'm here with Jay.
Hey, I'm Jay.
And today on our podcast, we are going to be introducing our guest. So joining us today is the director and writer of Red, a short film that explores identity and the fetishization of Asian American women. With all the mainstream productions created by and starring Asian Americans, we felt that it was important to highlight smaller independent projects that are seeking funding right now. And that is something I personally can vouch for. So, special guest, please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Candace Ho. I am a rising senior at UCLA. I'm going in to make my thesis film, and I am a directing concentration in the School of Theater, Film, and Television. I grew up in a small town in Connecticut. I went to New York, and now we're in LA, so we've been around a bit, and I am second generation of Taiwanese parents.
So thank you for introducing yourself.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to ask how you got yourself into the arts, or what inspired you?
There's this whole spiel that I always like to tell people, which would be a very different story if I ended up as like an accountant or something. But there's this Chinese tradition where when you're one, you pick from four items on the table, and that's supposed to like determine your fate. So there's like a mirror, there's the calculator, there's money, and then there's a pen, which is supposed to represent creativity. So I picked up the pen when I was younger, and I'd like to say the rest is fate. But in reality, when I was younger, I wanted to be an actress. I kind of put on a lot of weird costumes and did all these like dances and whatever in front of my family. And so I had that. And then at the age of six, I just had this realization that A, I didn't really like performing in front of people that much, and B, that there was no one who really looked like me on screen. And I just thought that that's such a sad realization to have when you're six. But I was like, you know, this is not a viable career path for me, so I'm going to try storytelling and other outlets. So I did writing for a really long time. I did a lot of like short stories and poetry. I was one of those weirdos who like blast emailed their fourth grade teachers their poetry to get like some kind of reaction. Oh. And after that, I ended up kind of finding this beautiful music video community on YouTube, which has since died, unfortunately, but I would make like little short 1 to 3 minute music videos to like some trash pop songs, like some Kesha back in the day, some like Tayo Cruz, you know. So I had that, and then there was like not much substance there, but there was definitely like the starting of bringing in like cinematography and editing and like having to pick out different locations. And so from there, I kind of evolved into making more storyline music videos to more dramatic songs from your like emo favorites like Seosin and everything like that. And from there, I got into short filmmaking and applied to film schools, thinking that I would probably find something else along the way that my parents would probably appreciate and respect more. And I guess I'm graduating this year and I'm still in film school. So that has not happened. But yeah, that's the story.
Wow.
Congrats.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about when you were 6 years old, that you understood that you would have a hard time breaking into acting, just not. That's kind of, that is really sad, but it also speaks to how even young children can understand that there's a problem. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's so strange. I remember like I would watch a ton of Disney Channel, and everyone would have people that they're like, oh, in this show, you're this person, in this show, you're this person. And anytime there's like any Asian, which there aren't a lot of in my town, they'd be like, you're Brenda Song. Cause that was only Asian on screen. And I was like, okay, like she's London and like Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And I'm like, she's nothing like me. Like, I don't feel like that's a viable option anymore, which was so sad.
Telling you the truth, I kind of knew the same thing. And I don't know, I hear a lot of people who break into the acting industry and are Asian American talk about their parents being unsupportive of them. But I'm thinking to myself, I don't think it's that simple, you know, because I think they know that it's harder for us to break it in America.
And yeah, definitely.
Because of like racism and discrimination in the field, it's, they just want, like, it's kind of not a viable option for us, or not something that's secure.
Yeah, for
sure. But at the same time, it shouldn't discourage anybody from, like, pursuing it, but just, like, be aware there are, like, there are struggles that we will have to overcome and be twice as exceptional if we want to make it, you know, in Hollywood.
Exactly. I remember, like, I went up to my mom once and I was like, Mom, can you see me, like, on a red carpet one day when I was, like, 7? And she was like, honestly, not really, but, like, do what you want to do. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, the harsh realism.
Oh, I know, right? My mom was too real with me.
I wanted to talk about your work, Red. What led to it, like, being created in the first place?
Yeah, I would like to think that it's a bit of a culmination of my entire life story, kind of. I grew up in Connecticut, like I mentioned, which is really synonymous a lot of times with trees and white people, and that like that kind of comparison is not really wrong. I think if you look at the numbers, my town was like 95% to 98% white, so the amount of like Asian families you could count in our town was like on one hand, essentially, and all of us knew each other. Going through that, I never thought that I was someone who really got bullied. I've never like pictured myself as someone who was bullied or discriminated against, because I think all of the kind of discrimination I faced was really like microaggressions, and I always kind of shook it off as just being a joke, or that it was okay that they said that because they didn't mean it. And then there are like little things like just people telling me that I was a bad Asian because I didn't get a straight A's like on a test, or that like my eyes were a specific way, and like if I'd be able to see, or if everything I saw was in widescreen, and just things like this that I just thought were like, oh, that's those are jokes. That's what everyone says to everyone. That's normal. And it wasn't until I was in like 11th grade that I think I first came to the realization that that wasn't normal. And I took my AP US history class, and that was the first time that I ever learned about like the Chinese Exclusion Act or the Japanese internment camps, which is just shocking because like by 11th grade we're 16 and our school system is supposed to be like really great, and the fact that that was nowhere in our curriculum until AP US history was just appalling to me. And the fact that they were able to almost erase, I don't want to say erase, but I do think that a lot of people aren't aware that that happened in our history, and the fact that like that did happen and they had spread so much racist rhetoric because of it is really terrifying, and something that I felt threatened by even though it happened so long ago. And the fact that people thought that they could intern an entire group of people because they're supposed to be stereotyped as submissive and subservient is definitely still very prevalent today in the way that we're viewed. So I tucked that idea of like Japanese internment into my back pocket. And in that same class, I made this short like Asian American stereotypes documentary where I interviewed a lot of my friends from Chinese school, and I did like a lot of research into stereotypes and like the model myth minority and everything like that. And one of the like 1 minute sections that I did was specifically on Asian American women and their portrayal in media and the weird exotification that happens with that. And at that time, I also like heard Miss Saigon for the first time, and it was only then when it was thrust in my face how wrong it was, I started to see how like that idea of a woman being really submissive and docile and hypersexualized was very much a thing. And the fact that in most of the shows that you would see, if someone was Asian, they were like very strictly Asian, and they would wear kimonos and they would wear chibas. It was never something where I thought that being Asian and American could coexist. After looking into these like hypersexualizations and understanding where it came from with the whole like imperialist and colonialist ideals from like all the wars that we've had to go through, and all of like the prostitution markets that have come from that, I started to become more aware that that was why that happened. And then as we were getting older and like the dating scene became bigger, I've realized that almost every Asian American girl or like Asian girl in America that I've talked to has faced some form of like yellow fever. And that was something that a lot of people didn't know was a thing if you're not Asian American and or Asian. And just seeing like the popularity of an overrepresentation of Asian women in like the porn industry, it became very obvious why it was the way that it was. And then I kind of wanted to tackle that issue that I had seen, but I was always afraid of being like too controversial or not being palatable to most audiences and not being able to get the word out there. So I kind of tucked it away for a really long time. And it wasn't until I saw Get Out where I was like, wow, there's a way to talk about race and talk about and make social commentary through genre. And that was when I decided that I would try to write something that was maybe in a genre form and somewhere that I could show all these ideas that I've had for so long. So last summer, I kind of sat down and forced myself to write this feature film. So it's like 90 pages. And
wow,
kind of whittled it down from there. I've never written a feature before. So the structure of that was not amazing. But I was like, I feel really passionate about this topic. And it's the first time that I really felt like I could write like that many pages about just this one story, because there's so much to it and so many themes that it hits upon. And when choosing my thesis, it was very easy for me to just be like, this is something that I feel so passionate about and I don't think would be made unless I made it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good to hear that you are taking the initiative to make the thing, because a lot of people are just like, we really wish that this could be made, or I would love to see this, but they don't actually take the steps to actualize it. So that's why we want to support you and boost your project.
Thank you.
Because we need more people who are willing to take that risk and not be afraid to talk about this stuff. In a related question, have you found it difficult to talk about these issues, particularly with non-Asians? I see that there's not too much awareness about this specifically, even though things like the Me Too movement are really widespread and well-known. We don't really have our own place in it carved out for us.
Totally, yeah. I definitely have found it difficult to talk about. I remember last summer, I was so excited to talk about this idea because it was something that like I had never seen and or hear of anyone wanting to make a film about. So I was going and just like talking to all of my friends, and every time we'd meet for coffee, I'd be like, listen to this idea that I have. It's so cool. I'm so excited. And the reaction that I would always get from people were just like blank stares. And then they'd kind of just look at me, take a deep breath and be like, that's intense. And that word has never sounded so like demeaning before, but there's something about people just saying, oh, that's intense, as a way of like shaking it off and saying, oh, that like is so far off and left field, in a way that they think that that doesn't actually exist. And it kind of shuts down any conversation or engagement that you could have with them about that topic, because it just seems like they're unwilling to hear about it. And for a lot of different projects this past year, we've been asked to like pitch different ideas that we've had for thesis so that we could get critique on it. And anytime that I had like a straight white male professor, or even just like a white professor, I was never sure of how that was going to be taken. And a lot of times I would like change my idea last minute because I was scared that it just wasn't going to sit well with them, since so many people were so confused by it. And yesterday I told like one of my best friend's moms about my idea, who's white, and she was like, oh, what is yellow fever? Like, what does yellow fever have to do with your idea? Meaning that she like didn't know that yellow fever was the term that was coined for this like fetishization. So it does take a bit. And she was so shocked when I told her like stories of my own experience with yellow fever. She had no idea that that was something specific, because she had heard of all of these ideas with like the feminist movement now, but not anything that was an intersection of both like race and sexism. Mm.
I used to, when I was younger, I'd have random older men come and approach me, and I thought they'd be starting friendly conversations.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It wasn't until, it happens to this day too, by the way.
It doesn't end.
I've learned to push people away. I'm sorry if it comes off as rude, but it wasn't until like I got older that I realized that it's not normal. And when I talk about it to people, they're like, oh, he's just trying to be friendly with you, you know.
Oh gosh, no. No.
I've gotten a lot of gaslighting about it lately, and I don't know. And that's why, because like, I feel like I can't talk about this much, because if I do, people will either downplay it or like, you know, recently I was looking into, I've listened about the news and talking, I've heard stories about like women like Julie Chen and Amy Chua, like being, they're really like prominent Asian American figures, but then they've kind of like, there's been controversy surrounding them because it feels like they've been like siding with those who enable that behavior. And it's such a complicated thing for us Asian women. It's like a double whammy to even talk about these issues, because if we do talk about it, we're considered the bad women and we're asking for it. Or if we don't talk about it, we're like, oh, why don't you talk about it? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe because I keep getting gaslighted.
No, yeah, totally. I feel you. I feel like people are like, oh, you should take that as like a compliment or whatever. And you're like, this is not taken as a compliment. It doesn't happen to other women in the same way. Not that like any form of catcalling is ever okay, but like, that specific approach of like older white men is so gross. And there's like this one story that I very vividly remember, which like in a way also has made its way into Red. I was waiting for a bus in LA. It was like the first time that I was visiting, and these two men in a car like pulled up next to my sister and I and just said how much, and then they just drove away, and then they like started laughing and they rolled down their windows and everything and kind of like paused there. And I don't think that that would have happened had we not been Asians and had the idea of like Asian prostitution not been such a common thing. And I never felt so violated in my life. Like, it was such a terrifying experience.
Damn.
Yeah, listening to those stories really make me mad.
I know, it's like, because you can't do anything, and they were like, in a car, like, what right do you think that you have to say that to someone and then be like, oh, it's a joke. Like, these are not things that you can really shake off jokes.
No. I'll give you 5 cents because that's how much you're worth, boy.
I know, I would right? Too real.
Too real, and so what happens here kind of mirrors foreign policy. And because, you know, historically, I don't know about you or how in depth you studied about like the War Brides Act and etc., but the history of Asian women and how we're treated in the States, I think, can personally be tied to Western imperialism and colonialism even abroad, you know. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because I hear the main character in the film is an adoptee, right?
Yeah, she is.
Okay, was there a particular reason behind it?
Yeah, I wanted her to have a very strong like disconnect from her cultural identity and have it not be a choice. I wanted like her parents to specifically have gone into this Asian American system and been like, yes, I want her out of like any other adoption center that they could go to. And growing up in a white town, I wanted her experience to kind of parallel mine, except that she would have no choice in whether she wanted to assimilate or not. She would just be forced to assimilate. And in many ways, I do think that that parallels the idea of Western imperialism and how when they went in there, there wasn't a choice of like what expectations you would suddenly have to adhere to, because there was only one way that was the right way, and that was the white way. And I wanted that to be very prevalent in her life, where like the way that she grew up, she didn't think that there was anything else because all of these white expectations were forced upon her. And in addition to that, I think that having her not know a lot about her cultural identity at all would be helpful to audiences who are experiencing this for the first time, because you get to learn with her as a character.
All right. Thank you for elaborating on that. And that is actually really interesting, because I've actually interacted with a couple adoptees before in my real life, and it was hard to talk about like these stories with them, because I actually have a close friend who's an adoptee, you know, Vietnamese adoptee, but went to Maryland, and her experience was basically mirroring very similar to the protagonist, in that she had no choice but to assimilate to whiteness because that was her only family. Mm-hmm. And I heard about Red is that Red also deals with otherness by exaggerating microaggressions, like everyday microaggressions, to clearly illustrate underlying stereotypes. Mm-hmm. We recently also released a pod talking about our experiences with microaggressions.
I listened to it.
Are there any other?
Oh, I was like, oh, look at that. This is like so relatable, and unfortunate that it's relatable.
And the thing is, we were wondering if there were any memorable or really like significant incidents in your life that you can share with us.
I mean, apart from the ones that you've already shared, is there anything like really, really exceptionally bad?
Exceptionally bad. What a terrible way to say it. I think that one was definitely like the worst experience that I had when I was in LA, but also just in like day-to-day life, my best friend had like a song written about her, like a rap written about her, and one of the lines was like, I'm in love with your ethnicity, and she's like Chinese Korean, and we had to like listen to that, and we were just like sitting there just completely appalled at the fact that people could say that in a song and have that not be something that was like controversial and instead normalized. And then on like dating apps and things like that, a lot of times like the first message that I will get is just like, I love Asians, or like people will get messages that my friends have shared with me that have just like said things about like having like tight pussies or whatever. Like it's just things like that that is not a way to start a conversation, nor is a way to get anybody's respect. That really kind of hammered in that point.
That scares me, man.
It's scary. Dating apps are not a great place for Asian women.
That's why I'm quitting dating apps. I'm just going to stick to meeting people in person that I like.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through complicated stuff.
Yeah, that is a good call.
And this brings me to one of my last points. So let's say this movie. I would love for this movie to get the funding. And I was wondering, like, what can we do? What steps can we take to remove some of the stigmas from the issues that Red tackles? You know, for example, like microaggressions and all that, or anything. What do you think?
I think people sometimes underestimate the power of media and how it can really shape a lot of people's thinking. So I think that just having more roles for women and more Asian women taking on roles that are more complex and don't just fall under the stereotypes that we've become used to through the years is definitely a great thing. But in order for them to take on those roles, I feel like there is a responsibility to some extent for Asian American women to write more of those roles and have them authentically written by voices that are reflective of the kind of characters that they are, instead of having like Asian roles being written by white men. So if there are any writers out there, keep writing. I was also thinking that just like for people that are allies and maybe aren't aware of these topics, just having like listening and engaging in the conversation, because a lot of times just shaking it off and just being like, wow, that is very out of left field kind of idea that you're coming up with isn't really constructive for either of the parties involved, because then they don't understand that that is something that happens frequently. So having that is also very useful, and just being able to engage and listen to people when they have these experiences, instead of kind of like, as you said in your experiences, having people telling you that it's like belittling you or saying that like your experiences are invalid. And then for a long time, I was also really scared to identify as like an Asian American woman who was passionate about Asian American topics, because I thought that would make me too controversial, or that people wouldn't like me as much because I would be too like SJW or like too whatever. And I think just not being afraid to embrace your identity and being able to speak up when things are wrong is an important thing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like as people who are already other just because of our appearance, our ethnic identity, etc., we're already making people uncomfortable. That's why they other us. So you might as well use what you have. Yeah.
Might as well do it. Yeah. Push it to 100 real fast.
Basically.
I mean, I've lost friends over this, but either way, I've also made some pretty amazing friends too. So keep speaking your truth.
Do it, guys.
Just do it.
You can do it.
And okay, do you have any last words or thoughts, Candace, before we all sign off? And then after that, Jay?
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being wonderful hosts and for having this podcast as an outlet where a lot of people can go to find solace and being able to connect in a way that I feel like a lot of other podcasts don't. So thank you.
Thank you. Sometimes we feel like nobody is actually listening. So this is actually really nice to hear.
I listen.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Everybody, please support your indie filmmakers because they're doing the work that needs to be done that a lot of mainstream productions will not because they're afraid to or because they just don't want to. And yeah, if you're a creator, keep creating.
Thanks for your words, Jay and Candace. And so how to reach Candace? So below, we will put a donation link. So please, please, please support your indie writers and help fund for this film. And well, Candace, do you have any social networks or anything you want to, just in case someone wants to reach out to you? And please be nice too.
Of course. My handles on Twitter and on Instagram are X just Candace. Did I make that when I was in eighth grade? Maybe, but feel free to reach out to me. I would love to hear from you guys.
All right. And then Jay?
Oh, and I am J_MARAAN on the Twitter. And I'm not sure if I've mentioned this before, but I'm also an editor for Pro Asian Voice right now, proasianvoice.com.
All right, and I'm V, and you can follow the whole JTTW team on JTTW Podcast for the Twitter handle. And yep, that's it. That's JTTW signing off. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Candace, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to this collab. Thanks for those out there who are supporting us right now. It means a lot.
Yes. All right, see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.